You're listening to an Epic Film Guys Cinema Beat Minisode.
We, Dina, unfortunately did not get a chance to see this because her life is even crazier than our life is, if you can believe that. Daughter in college and fiance moving across the country just a couple of months ago. And just like your life is like this maelstrom. So you didn't get a chance to see First Man, but Justin and I are going to be dropping a spoiler-filled review on you. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to let you know right now, they made it to the moon. I know, I hate to just not put a spoiler warning and just drop it on you just like that, but they made it.
It's one of my favorite scenes from Dumb and Dumber. When he's walking out of the bar and he looks on the wall and sees the framed newspaper article about landing on the moon. And he's so excited about it. It's like, all right, we made it on the moon. You know, it's, yeah, in case you didn't know. And for all you naysayers out there that don't believe that we made it to the moon, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry for you. I apologize.
Yeah. You're probably hanging out with the flat earthers.
Oh, my Lord. But we're going to get Dina's input on some First Man stuff, because even though she hasn't seen the film, she's at least, I think, probably aware that a dude landed on the moon back in 1969 and it was a big deal. So we'll probably be able to get a little bit of input from her on it.
It was a big deal. That was the year of my birth.
See? So two important things happened that year. And the other one, like, some dude landed on the moon. Let's focus on the important one. We love you. Thank you so much for being here.
I love you guys, too.
But Justin and I, Justin got a chance to see this movie before I did, and you got to see this in a large format theater, and you urged people last week on the show, Justin, that if they got the chance to see First Man in the largest possible format that they could, and after having seen the film at my local AMC, I can tell you, don't see this in a normal theater. Don't. See it in a large format theater, because I've got a lot of things to say about it. Well, not a lot. Some. I've got a lot of different little things to kind of whatever. But I will say that this is the kind of film like Dunkirk, or like a Nolan film definitely springs to mind no matter what. That kind of sound design, that kind of attention to detail when it comes to sound design is so important in this film. And I feel like me sitting in the theater, like when I was watching it at AMC, I was immersed in it. But I was like, if I was sitting in an IMAX theater right now with an amazing sound system, this would be blowing me the fuck away right now. And I think, Justin, I want you to talk a little bit more about that, because you obviously had that experience. I didn't. But like for me, I've got, like I said, a bunch of things to say about this movie. But for me, I think far and away, the star of this film is the sound design.
Yeah. I mean, I wish that I saw this in an even bigger theater than what I saw it in. The Sauce himself today actually had a chance to see at Uvarhazy, the Airbus, which I wish that I had a chance to go to. I didn't have the time after Dismember the Alamo, which is too much on me. Getting old. I can only do so many movies per month, let alone per day, let alone per weekend. But no, for real, it's the whole sound around you. You're so aware of every little tiny little sound hitting, you know. And I think that what nailed me the most was everything to do with being in a shuttle, everything to do with being in a rocket, everything to do with being up in the air, visually. And of course, as you're stating right off the bat, is the sound. But I think visually, it's one of the first times for me that I kind of got air sickness while watching a movie, because they definitely have that camera shaking a lot. And the whole film, and this is something that may be a double-edged sword for me personally, I don't know how you feel about it, we'll get into it, but it feels like the whole film, for the most part, is kind of handheld. There's a lot of shaky, and there's a lot of close-ups. It's very intensely shot movie.
Huge issue with that. Like, I adore it in some instances, but I really, really feel like there were a couple of shots, especially there are some quieter scenes when he uses darkness in the room that the camera's in to block out the frame in the background where he's trying to focus, but he does it handheld. And because of the way that the shot is staged, it's so obvious that it's handheld, and all you want is for the camera to stay fucking still, and it doesn't. So in those instances, I really, really think it was maddening, but there are other instances where it's just genius and it's brilliant the way he does it. I want to go back, like, visually and sound wise, you're 100% correct, because what this film does more than anything else, and we'll talk, of course, about Gosling, we'll talk about everything else, but it puts you in those fucking capsules. It makes you feel claustrophobic, like you're in those. You hear every creak, every groan of that metal, and you're just like all the random shots of seams and rivets and screws, and
you
all
can
that
hear
stuff.
Them. You can hear them shaking when they're shaking. Everything. You're worried that they're gonna fall out. That's how you're sitting there in
it's
his perspective.
It's fucking nerve-wracking, dude.
It's literally nerve-wracking, and that's why for me, and I hate flying. Everyone that knows me knows this. This is the first movie ever for me to sit there and watch, and my hand the whole next day after seeing it hurt because I was gripping my seat so hard, because that's how tightly it pulled me in, and I was like, oh my god, I can't do this right now. I almost want to close my eyes during some of it.
Yeah, it's so investing. It's so insane. Like, for whatever anybody else is going to say about this film, and whatever you think about controversies, which we'll also talk about, the film is worth it alone. From that aesthetic standpoint, because what Chazelle's able to do here is create a film that sounds and looks like nothing you've ever seen before when it comes to space travel.
Totally
and,
agree.
Like, you're not just out in space seeing these grand sweeping shots. I mean, it's not that there aren't some of them in there. There definitely are. But what you really get a sense of is, you know, in some of those capsules, they had like the tiniest little window to look through. And all you're seeing is like a faint light. Like, think about, Justin, how many shots are in darkness in this movie where, like, they're faced out towards space. There's no light. There's nothing. And all you're hearing is just all the sound that goes on around them.
Or in other instances, the lack of sound.
Yeah.
The lack of sound.
Yeah.
When they're finally up there and it's just complete silence. That emptiness of being up there. I mean, again, and I actually urge everyone to see this movie for a lot of different reasons. We have not yet talked about prior to this discussion how we felt about the movie. This is something we love to do on the Epic Film Guys podcast. I saw the movie like 3 weeks ago, and I had to keep mum about it to Nick. So we like to have our reactions fresh and on point when we get to it. So let's jump right in, man. Here's a question I have for you. If you did not know that Damien Chazelle, director of La La Land and Whiplash, directed this movie, if you didn't know going in that he directed it, would it show? Would you know, like, oh man, this feels like a Damien Chazelle movie?
No. I mean, dude, it does have, like, his attention to detail and his attention, his kind of perfectionism that he has is here. But I don't know that I would have walked out of the theater and immediately associated that with him. I don't necessarily think that would have been the case. But
the reason why I ask is because I feel like after watching his last few films, particularly La La Land, you can tell he's really trying to branch out and do something completely different. And it feels like a totally different kind of movie.
So to get into like kind of a discussion of what is the film about, Justin, the film is basically a look at the life of Neil Armstrong and kind of the lead up to the Apollo 11 mission that put the first man on the moon. And we get to see a lot of the different tests and a lot of the different flights and things like that that led up to that. We get to meet a lot of the other astronauts with whom Armstrong would have interacted in that period and things like that. I think that the film's trajectory in terms of its plot is perfect. I think what Chazelle does, where he starts it with Armstrong testing. The name of the actual plane is escaping me, but it's one of those like high altitude, like high atmosphere planes.
It's a X-15.
There you go. So X-15, it starts with Armstrong testing that X-15. You get to see him, you know, command the Gemini 8 mission. And then, of course, you obviously get to see him command the Apollo 11 mission to the moon. But you also get to see other missions in between that. I really, really, for someone who loves, and I mean absolutely loves, space exploration, loved all that stuff as a kid. I literally, anything I could get my hands on when it came to space exploration, I adored when I was a kid. So for me, those were the film's most riveting scenes. I was just like, every time they did anything remotely associated with the technology, I was literally transfixed. I'm going to say it. I think the dramatic elements of the film, I think, you know, Claire Foy is in the film, of course, Ryan Gosling stars as Neil Armstrong, a litany, a great cast in this film, absolutely amazing cast that Chazelle assembled. I think that a lot of that stuff, to be 100% honest, I think it goes on a little bit too long. I think that some of it could have been probably trimmed back a little bit.
I think it does. I'm not going to lie to you either. I had to hold back a little bit on my feelings about this. I do think, though, the most important thing about this movie is that it is about Neil Armstrong. Make no mistake, this is a character piece for Neil Armstrong and a very human story. Everything about this story is about being human and being flawed and being just anybody Joe off the street, which Neil Armstrong was not. Obviously, when you watch the movie, you see how intelligent he was, how driven he was, how dedicated he was, but how emotional he was. The one thing that we'll bring this up right now, because this is one of the main plot points in the movie, and this is something that, you know, follows Gosling's Armstrong throughout the entire movie, is the loss of his daughter, Karen, who, when we meet Neil Armstrong in the beginning of the movie, he is grounded after several unsuccessful X-15 flights, and his daughter is doing treatment for a brain tumor. And this guy obviously is extremely intelligent. And as you can see from in the beginning of the movie, he likes to calculate everything out. He likes to try to figure everything out. He likes to solve every problem. He likes to succeed.
Yep.
And he's not cocky about it. This is just who he is. That's his personality. That's how he was built. And his daughter dies. I just got to ask you how you felt that affected you while watching it, because the only issue I have is that something that is a staple throughout the entire film that we keep coming back to. And it's a very human emotion, and it's something that's very emotional for me watching the movie. We both have kids. All three of us have kids here on the show. But I feel like the beginning of the movie glossed over his relationship with his daughter a little bit too quick for me.
Yeah, I really would have liked to see them spend more time on that. I mean, I can kind of understand why they didn't or why they couldn't, because they're also trying to tell a narrative about the lead up to the Apollo 11 mission. And that's why you say that the movie is a character piece about Neil Armstrong. I don't necessarily disagree, but I don't necessarily agree either. I think this is as much a movie about Neil Armstrong as it is about Apollo 11. The movie from the start, and from the start, you know, when they're talking and the engineers are talking in meetings, everything that they talk about is moon, 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 moon. And Chazelle does this thing in the film, which I really, really, really enjoyed, where he repeatedly has shots of Neil Armstrong looking at the moon, and it just cuts to a shot of the moon that some of them are faded and they come into focus and other things. And then at the end of the film, he does this absolutely brilliant shot where he reverses it, and it's the same shot, but it's the Earth, because obviously yeah, he's on the moon. It's a brilliant thing. So, like, I do agree that it's very much a character piece for Armstrong, but I don't necessarily agree that it's only that. Well, I think it's as much about Apollo 11 as Armstrong.
I don't think it's only that. I don't think it's only that, but I think it's lopsided a little bit, and I'm glad that it was, because for me, I love both elements, but I really am interested in what it would take for a man to do this, to keep coming back to this, and to be able to achieve this. And that's the most interesting thing for me, and I'm going to jump right in with my thoughts here on performances. I think Ryan Gosling knocked it out of the park. I think what he did here and why he's perfect for this role is the same thing he did in Drive, and he's shown to be able to do this in other performances, is when he doesn't have to have dialogue to emote. You see it in his face, you see it in his eyes, you see it in his silence, and just him being standing in the kitchen, for example, and no words, and you just see it in his face. You don't have to hear dialogue. You don't have to know anything else other than just seeing him standing there. So for me, being a big Ryan Gosling fan in the first place, I think this is probably his best performance that I've seen.
Easily amongst his top performances, I would absolutely agree with that, because you're 100% right when it's a lot of nonverbal performance cues. And that,
he's a quiet
I think
guy
Gosling
in the movie.
At.
Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't talk a lot in the movie.
He does not have a lot of dialogue. And I think he's fantastic, and I think we can jump right from there over to Claire Foy, because I think she has the kind of opposite performance where a lot of hers is very dialogue-driven, but she also has a lot of those non-dialogue moments. I really, really think that she's great in the film as well.
I think she's fantastic.
I don't think there's anybody in this cast, to be 100% honest. I don't think there's anybody in this cast that misses. I think everybody on point here.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, I think, honestly, one of my favorite performances, even though he is glossed over, and I understand why he's glossed over. This isn't his movie. This isn't about him. But Corey Stahl as Buzz Aldrin, I thought he was fantastic. And from what I've read, what I've seen of Buzz, I think that he gave a very accurate performance of who Buzz Aldrin was at that time. He's kind of a loudmouth. He was outspoken. But a lot of people, we have to address this. We have to address this because this is the mission where not just one man walked on the moon, more than one man walked on the moon. And Buzz Aldrin is known as, you know, an American icon as well as Neil Armstrong. A lot of people were complaining that, like, oh, he's not getting the limelight either. And we don't even see, and you know this, Nick, after seeing the movie, we don't see him jumping off onto the moon. We see him jumping around the moon, but there's not that iconic scene of, like, all of them getting off. And that's why I keep going back to, like, this being a Neil Armstrong movie, because we see him get off. We see his moment as a character and as a person. Buzz is just, he's there. And I'm fine with that.
I'm mostly fine with it. My biggest problem with Corey Stoll is whenever I see him, I can't get his performance as Yellow Jacket and Ant-Man out of my head. Like, no matter what I do, it just, it kills me every time. I loved him in the movie. I did think he was good, but every time I see him, I'm just like, why did you do Ant-Man? He's done so many other great things in his career.
You, that's how forgettable the first Ant-Man is to me, because I remember him being in it, but he was just so good in this. And he's such a minor character as it is, such a minor player, even though he's very important to the mission and everything we see leading up to it. They do gloss him over. He's, you know, in the background most of the movie. The fucking first Ant-Man, you're really going to let that ruin things for you?
Because I first got introduced to him as an actor in House of Cards, and I adored him in that. And then, yeah, that fucking Ant-Man movie. But Jason Clarke is in this, who sometimes does not make the best career choices. We've both decided. But I think he's fantastic in this film. He's kind of, you know, for the time when he's in the film anyway, he's kind of Armstrong's closest friend and confidant. And what I love about this, and I read a quote from Chazelle when he talked about making this film, is he really wanted to convey the danger of spaceflight back during this time frame, back during this era. And he wanted to convey how, like, much risk all of these guys were at. And we kind of, you see at one point in the film, especially early on in the film, all these different engineers, these pilots, all these different people that are part of the space program. And as tests fail and as people die, they slowly start to disappear into the background. And you're left basically with Armstrong feeling like it's kind of a conscious choice on Chazelle's part to make him feel like he's more isolated, to shoot like more scenes of him kind of detaching himself further. And that's where Gosling's performance plays back into that, because all of that's clearly affecting him, but he internalizes everything. Like, he's not externally emotive whatsoever. He's extremely quiet, extremely reserved, but you can tell in there, in Gosling's performance, it's affecting him. And I think that that's a testament to Gosling's talent in this film, because you said it yourself, Justin. You said it's his best performance. I think it's one of his best performances, I would have to think.
Well, it's right up there. I mean, we're not going on a ranking. We're not going on a ranking. It's one of his. I mean, for me, Drive is one of my favorite movies of all time, and it's one of his best movies of all time.
Don't mention that piece of shit in this conversation.
It's not a piece of shit. You're like literally the only 0.5% of the entire world that's ever seen it that thinks that. You only saw it once, so watch it again. Get back to me. Get back to me. But no, I think obviously this movie has great things going on for it. All of the space stuff is jarring for the viewer because it makes you feel like you're in the seat. It's the most realistic depiction of space travel ever put on film. And I know that, you know, I love Apollo 13. I love that movie a lot. And there are other space movies that try to depict realistic space travel. But for me, this was like, wow, guys actually got into that thing after you saw what happened to the last guy and the guy before that and the guy before that. And you get into this thing. Yeah. And then when they're in it, it's intense. It's amazing. And for me, it's the bravery.
You're strapped in. The doors are fucking bolted shut. You know, you can barely move. You can move like your arms up to touch the control panels and stuff like that. You're basically lying down, looking up toward the sky. There's no window except for a tiny little porthole.
How? It's insane. I still can't fathom how anyone could be able to do it. But these guys were obviously extremely well trained.
It makes you feel like, I'm not even claustrophobic, but like it made, especially to go back to the sound design, I can't say this enough, but all you hear is metal creaking and groaning when they're firing up like the ignition sequences and stuff like that for the rockets. Ooh, you hear it. Wow. You hear it from the point of view inside the cockpit. And all you can, it's rumbling, the shaking and everything like that. And like the camera work is so frenetic in this. And it's just like it, the whole thing is meant to be a really, really jarring experience for the audience. And like I said, that goes back to what Chazelle said, that he really wanted to convey the danger of space travel. That like when you were a kid, did you ever have that moment where you said, I want to be an astronaut, or where you at least were like, astronauts are super cool? I have like more respect for astronauts than I've probably ever had now after seeing this movie, like especially astronauts in that era.
Like, dude, well, especially considering that space travel is something terrifying. That's taken a backseat to so many other things in our country because it's not getting the funding that it was getting. Then there was the space race. There was obviously that's something that's very apparent in the movie, is that we are fighting Russia. We are fighting, you know, other countries to try to get to the moon first and walk on the moon first. And that's where obviously, you know, those conspiracy theorists say, well, that's why we just faked it and Stanley Kubrick filmed it and blah, blah, blah. You're all wrong, just to let you know. But no, it's seriously, though.
Oh, wait, I mean, that didn't really happen.
We walked on the moon, people. It actually happened. But I mean, from all that aside, I just have to mention one of my favorite scenes in the movie, because I know we're going a little bit long on this, but I feel like the movie deserves the discussion. My favorite scene in the movie is where we know that he has to go off on the Apollo mission, and his wife tells him, or asks him, are you going to tell the boys? Are you going to actually tell them about the possibility of you not coming back? And you could tell that Armstrong is kind of disconnected from it. He's finding ways around it where he doesn't have to talk to them. He's just, I'm packing, I'm putting things away. And she flips out on him. And I think it's one of the best emotional moments of the movie. And I think it's one of the best acting moments for Claire and Gosling together. Their chemistry is just spot on, where she's like, you're going to go tell those boys. You're going to go tell them, because I'm not going to be the one to do it. And you see that in her eyes. And her performance is brilliant. I don't know how you feel about this. I don't know how busy the award season is going to be. But I feel like she, above anybody else in the movie, maybe, possibly a nomination. But when he sits down at that table and he tells his two sons, I mean, very nonchalant and very laid back about.
Well, he has this way of even telling his kids about the fact that he might go out into space and die, like he is answering a reporter's question.
Exactly.
Like,
that's my point.
I really love that, like how detached he is at that point. Again, it's fantastic.
His whole brain is on the mission.
Gosling.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah. So there's only one other thing I want to mention about this. We got to talk about it. We mentioned it last week on the show very briefly, Justin, but there are people who will not watch the movie because after the film screened at festivals, it was revealed that they did not shoot the flag planting scene on the lunar surface. Now, I have two distinct thoughts on this after seeing the movie. One, there is so much pro-America imagery in this film. It's insane to think or to even suggest remotely that it's not like patriotic. There's a shot of one of his sons raising the flag up a flagpole. Like, dude, I got chills. There's a long tracking shot, like when they're suiting up and when they're mounting up to actually get in the capsule.
Oh, I love that scene. Mission. Oh my God, I fucking love that scene.
The tracking shot that follows all the way up the rocket, and you read United States all the way up the side of that, like the swell of national pride I got from that moment alone is great. There's a long, wide shot of Tranquility Base where the flag's right fucking there.
It's there,
right,
dude.
Next to the
lander.
You
see it. You see it. It's there.
But all that aside, I still think it should have been in the movie.
Really?
Because I mean, again, I don't just view this as an Armstrong biopic. I think it was as much about the mission as that was. I think, honestly, and this is one of the probably bigger criticisms of the film I have, I don't think it gives you enough of the Apollo 11 mission. I would have liked the film to be trimmed back in some of the other areas and get more of Apollo 11 at the end of it. You already get a lot. Like, there's so much of it in the film, it dominates at least a good probably, I don't know, what would you say, 30, maybe even 40 minutes of it?
See, when they get 40, up there and they're there, for me, I thought it was the perfect amount that we got, because we also had the other two things that we see Armstrong do in the movie. The Gemini 8, we see that, which is, for me, the most thrilling scene, the sequence in the entire movie, when they go up to dock with the Agenda target vehicle, and they're unsuccessful and they start the spinning. And that was one of the most thrilling, exciting, and scary sequences in the movie. So we had that already. So for me, like, the space stuff is there. I can agree with you to an extent that we should have had a little bit more space stuff, but I do disagree with you. I don't think we needed the flag planting scene at all. It may have sent out the wrong message right now, or it may have sent out the right message right now in our current political status in this country. I don't know which way it would have gone.
Like,
it just wholesale. For me, it didn't feel like, I don't see where it would have fit in, because you got him, he got off, and this is, again, his character, how he's reflecting on being up there. You've been spending the whole movie with him.
Yeah,
I just don't see it being, because that moment was not for him.
I feel like
the movie's about him just succeeding.
It's ignorant to think that this film is somehow anti-American, because it doesn't include the scene.
It's not at all. It's not at all.
Like I said, that's like, there's a that long tracking shot up that rocket. Like, do you have any idea, like, the amount of American manpower and ingenuity had to go into building that goddamn thing to get them there? Like, it's crazy to even suggest that to me. But I still think I would have liked to just see more of, like, from touchdown to first steps until, like, liftoff. Like I honestly, one of the things that they didn't show in the film as well that I really wish they would have is leaving. I mean, it was uneventful-ish.
I'm gonna be honest with you. I disagree 100%. I liked that it took them back after, because I don't need to see that. I saw them floating around in space enough where I'm like, I don't need to see you floating again. I get wanting to know, because it's the educational standpoint of it. Like,
that's
you
just the
see
space
it.
Nerd in me. That's the space
you,
nerd.
Well, of
in
course,
me.
I get that. You do want to see that. I know a lot of other people are huge space nerds and they want it. This is a very important piece of American history, and to go out on a limb here, this is my point exactly. I said American history, but this is a big piece of human history, and that's what this movie is about. It's about being human. It's not about being American.
Because I'm going to throw my rating on the film, but I want to throw that out there too. What does everybody remember about the moon landing? Everybody remembers one thing about the moon landing, and you know what it is? It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. Except for
mankind.
That's the thing that people remember most about the moon landing, not anything else. So,
and he doesn't say anything about America in that statement either.
So for me, like I said, I just wanted to see more on the moon. Like, but that's me. I know that's the space nerd in me. It's fine. But if you're that person who's listening and you're like, no, they didn't show it because it's anti-American, you're wrong, because you haven't seen the movie and you've listened to somebody who has deluded you. Like I said, there's so many shots. Like, I mean, the flag is plastered on the lander. The flag is plastered on the rocket. The flag is plastered on their fucking astronaut
uniforms.
You
see it right in the frame.
It's everywhere.
Man. It's not like they didn't hide
it's
it. They didn't hide
everywhere.
It. It's there.
It's ridiculous to even suggest that fucking nonsense. But I'm going to put a rating on it. I'm 7 out of 10. I really, really think very strong contender for winner for sound design and sound editing at the Oscars. Easy front runner for me, because the sound design is impeccable. The visuals, the cinematography in this film is gorgeous. And I love the performances in this film. I just don't think they're the film's strongest asset. And like I said, I would have liked to see some of that stuff get dialed back a little bit.
I can't disagree with you 100%. I feel like some of the things that you brought up are the same things that I brought up upon first watching it. But you know what? I have not been able to flesh out my feelings about this movie, because there's no one else I know that has seen it except for my buddy Joe and Will Loisos, and I haven't had a chance to talk with him about it. So right now, the more I talk with you about it, the more I'm like, I can't wait to see this movie again. I need to go down to the Air and Space Museum, where they actually have a space shuttle that's traveled to space like 18 times. That's standing right there in that building. I need to go see this movie again and see. Now, Loisos actually did say one thing to me. There is only one IMAX sequence in it, and it's the Gemini 8 sequence. So that's the only IMAX. So I didn't know that. I thought there was more than one. So technically, I've already seen that sequence in IMAX. But for me, you know, I have to give an 8. Like,
A better sound theater. Just please, for the love of God, see it with the best possible sound system you can. You will not regret it. Surround sound, literally the best theater you have to, even if you have to drive a little bit to get to it, I wish I could schlep myself all the way down to Dixon City to fucking see it in IMAX, because I know, like, just like, you could just close your eyes and you could just fucking feel what those astronauts must have felt.
I feel like it was almost like those old simulators when you were a kid, you'd go in it, or if you went to fucking Disney World and got on the shuttle simulator. It's the same attempt at making you feel like you're immersed in this experience. But as I was saying, after we talked about this and I fleshed everything out with you, I got to give it an 8 out of 10. I think this is an achievement in filmmaking, and I think it's Chazelle really going out of his way
Chazelle
to be different.
Is amazing, dude.
And he really gives a lot of care to this movie and these characters. And I still disagree with you, and I still feel like he wanted to make this more about the character and the person. Who was Neil Armstrong? What was it like to be the man that achieved this? What was his goal? What was he dedicated to? And the emotional aspects of being that person that has to put those emotions aside, your family aside to some respect, to be able to achieve this greater good for the human race, which he did. And that's why 8 out of 10 for me. Gosling's fantastic. Claire Foy is fantastic. And I can't wait to see what Chazelle has up his sleeve next.
You know what some of my favorite shots in this film are, Justin, just to finish one thing on it? On the moon. Sun visor down.
I knew you were going there. Can't see his face at all.
But the way that Chazelle shoots it, the way that the score, how great is Justin Hurwitz's score in this film?
Oh, beautiful.
You can't even see his face, but you can feel what that character's feeling on the screen because of the music. And because, I mean, legit, like he's standing on the fucking moon, and you feel the cinematography. Like, I don't know what they did exactly for the lunar cinematography.
It looks like they were literally there.
It,
no fakery at all. No gorgeous. Fakery. It looks real. Gorgeous. Like that. That's how good they did the job in this movie. Yeah,
it's just,
that was one of the other amazing points I wanted to bring up. And a lot of other space movies, you're like, oh, I can tell they're floating around in CGI. Like literally when they're on the moon, dude, I felt like I was really there with them. Like no fakery at all. So
you know why you
huge
did?
Huge props.
Because they didn't even land there in the first place, because it was all a lie.
Blah, blah, blah. I'm sure. Hey, we may even lose 5 or 6 listeners or subscribers based on this discussion, but
I mean,
sorry.
They wouldn't be the first subscribers we've ever lost.
Hey, we lose like 3 per week, but there it is. Wow. First man, 8 out of 10 for me, 7 out of 10 for Nick.
Please.
I'm not surprised with your rating at all. I expected that rating, and the rating you gave was the one I was sitting on, but the more I talked with you about it, the more it fleshed out all the things that I found to be important about the film. So.
All right, so ladies and gentlemen, we've kept her. She's been just listening to us review First Man, and hopefully we have tantalized her and really made her want to see this film.
You
have, and at the same time, you've terrified me. So I don't know if you watched me going like this as you were talking. I'm saying going like this. Nobody can see what the fuck I'm doing. So I was shaking my head when you were talking about the way it really immerses you in what it was like to be an astronaut strapped into that confining space, and the sound of the metal shaking, and just listening to you and Justin describe that, I started feeling a little bit of terror down deep in my core. And so I hadn't thought much about seeing this movie, and shame on me, probably because it's just October and so I'm all horrored out. But so much of what you described just sounded unbelievably fascinating and beautiful, and I'd love the idea of getting inside the head of these incredible human beings, and what is it about their human condition that they were able to put themselves in this situation, right? Knowing the risk to themselves, knowing the risk to their families. So the idea that you get to really get exposed to that is really appealing to me. So as I'm listening to the two of you, there's the side of me that says, shit, you really need to go see this movie. But then there's the other side of me that feels like I'm about to have a fucking panic attack listening to you describe.
You might have a panic attack.
So it sounds like it would be incredible to see in the theater. And we've got some pretty amazing large space theaters down here. But I'm a little scared.
It reminds me a lot
from a claustrophobic panic perspective.
It reminds me a lot of what Nolan did in Dunkirk, with the way that he used the sound to tell the story in that film. Like when there were bullets whizzing by them and banging off of metal, you felt like you're in the theater and you feel like there's a fucking bullet bouncing off of the hull of a ship right next to you. Like that's how immersive the sound is in this movie. It legitimately puts you in that capsule, and like as they're strapped in there and like legit all you hear are metal creaking. engines roaring, everything shaking, and then the only other thing you hear is alarms going off all the fucking time. Alarms, alarms, alarms. And then you hear like this marbled voice, like, and then the alarm thing goes off because it's like mission control or whatever, like doing alarm tests. It's crazy.
I don't think I can do it.
We actually see a very in-depth, up-close sequence where astronauts are just doing a test. And we're hearing all the same noises. We're seeing all the same things. And this is one of the tests that went unsuccessfully. And there was one little problem with the test, and all four of them died in a brutal fashion. And they don't shy away from it. We see it. We feel it.
It's crazy. So, I mean,
again, they go out of their way. And you were right with that, what Chazelle said. Like, he wanted to make this feel as dangerous as possible. Because it is. You're flying to fucking space, man. Yeah. Like, that's not something to take lightly.
It's insane.
It's scary. But it's something that I feel like we all should see. This is a movie that should be shown in schools, in my opinion, because this is an important landmark, not just for America, but for the human race in general. And that's why I value it so much.